Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey everyone, welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, back this week after a little break.
I held down the fort.
You held down the fort, Evita.
Me and Evita took care of it.
It's good to be back and have a little coffee in LaCroix. I'm here with my partner in life, my wife. I can't remember how to say it. My wife and my life, Rachel Campos Duffy.
It's okay. I know what you mean.
I'm a little rusty.
You're a little rusty right now. It's okay.
Thanks.
Sean, as you know, I had an incredibly enlightening trip down to the border. Fox and Friends sent me down. And we probably got more footage than we thought. More consequential footage than I thought I was going to get, because we ended up not just going to interview migrants, illegal migrants, prior to Border Patrol getting them so I could talk to them and see what's going on. I went down to a ranch on the border with Jim and Sue Chilton, which was your favorite part of my trip.
Great footage. Jim was a true
American
patriot.
We need to post that one on Facebook, by the way. We should post that.
Absolutely.
We'll post that in case you missed it. We had a great interview with an Arizona fifth generation rancher who has had like over 3,000, because he has cameras on his ginormous ranch, over 3,000 illegals. But they're not just illegals. They're wearing camo and carrying guns, and they're in formation coming through his ranch, and he can't get the CBP over to his ranch because the CBP is too busy processing other illegals. So these are the gotaways coming through his ranch, and we can't do anything about it. It's just like the most mind-boggling things you can ever imagine. But I also ended up going into a Casa Alita's NGO secret hotel where they are housing people. And that's really was the splashiest, because they really were angry we were there. They attacked our crew when we were there. And so it got a lot of attention. Elon Musk was commenting on it. A lot of people interested, because nobody that we know of has been able to go inside yet. And I was able to get at least a little bit inside before getting kicked out. That happened. And then suddenly I got a bunch of people suddenly reaching out to me, whistleblowers saying, hey, I've got this information. I know illegals who are getting voter information sent to them. Can you look at these documents? Can you see what I'm looking at? And interestingly, Sean, what I found most fascinating is every single one of the whistleblowers is Hispanic. So they're Hispanic Americans who love our country and who are saying this is not right. And a lot of them are legal immigrants themselves. And one of them is Dr. Maria Herrera Mellado. She is an immigration attorney in the state of Florida, in Miami. And here's what she has to say about what she's experiencing, the kind of fraud and abuse by the Biden administration that she wants America to know about. So with no further ado, Maria Herrera Mellado, welcome to From the Kitchen Table. So why don't we just start like from the get-go? I want people to also know that you are a legal immigrant yourself to the United States. You love America. You became an immigration lawyer I imagine, because you want other people to have the experience you have of becoming a legal citizen. My mother went through this process as well, and it's a beautiful process when it's done legally, but you're seeing rampant fraud. And I guess my question is, what are you seeing? And has that fraud began since the Joe Biden's presidency? Are there changes that you're seeing in terms of the level of fraud? Is that coinciding with the Joe Biden presidency?
For sure, Rachel. What we're seeing, especially now on social media, there are a bunch of notarios, paralegal document preparers announcing legal services, providing legal advice. That is an authorized practice of law. There are committees within the State Bar Association that investigate this fraud. But my position is that we need to go farther. We need to write to state attorneys, because what's happening is that a lot of immigrants, because of the current inflation and economic hardship they're going through, they need a second or third job. So what they're doing is they're offering themselves as document preparers and authorizing providing legal advice for, of course, way less than as attorneys charge. And but when they do that, they file fraudulent claims, they abandon migrants through the process, they provide the wrong legal advice, and they put migrants at the deportation border, you know, at the deportation getaway. So it's really frustrating. We are denouncing. I really want to do that. I really want to send this letter to all state attorneys, because they should investigate that. And that's one part of the deal. But another thing that I'm seeing that is really, really scary is that because so many NGOs, and I know you're working on that, wrote to the Biden administration, say that they're violating immigrants' rights at the border. They asked this administration to stop conducting credible fear interviews. And now you see people reading exactly that, that they're being released without credible fear interviews being conducted. And I think that's insane, because even us as immigration attorneys, we took an oath to defend this nation, we took an oath to defend the Constitution, and I don't find a way, I don't see how you can release people without even conducting a credible fear interview. You don't know who they are, you don't know why they're here, you don't have any security that they're going to come back, that they're going to go back to court, so why are we doing that? And honestly, Rachel, there are no immigration attorneys speaking on the issue. I know why. Because we make money on representing migrants. But we have a duty to defend this nation, too. So to me, that makes no sense. That needs to be denounced. And an office should be created, particularly at the state level, at the federal level, to investigate immigration fraud. Because it's rampant and it's hurting our professions, legal precedents, and the U.S. taxpayer.
You know, Maria, you bring up a really good point. So you're right. You step forward and you're telling the story of what you see happening in the immigration system with regard to fraud, not the credible fear interviews. But most people don't step forward. Most people don't say, well, this system we have right now is rotten. It doesn't work. There's corruption, because a lot of people make money off the system. To your point, a lot of immigration lawyers won't step forward because they make money. The more illegals that come in that need legal representation, the more money they make.
Could it also be that like immigration lawyers tend to be a lot more liberal than...
And maybe a lot more sensitive to the issue. That could be. But Maria, America has a long history. The world has a long history with immigration, but so does America. We've had a lot of people for, you know, over 100 years that have wanted to come to this country. And through the course of the desire of people to come to America, we've developed a pretty complex system to vet people, to allow them to come in and then be, you know, get on the pathway to become a legal citizen. And so is your position that the Biden administration, in essence, has said, we're going to throw out all the safeguards, all the rules that we've had in place to make sure we're getting good people into the country who do have credible fear or do want to be, you know, part of the American dream? We've thrown those all out in an effort to just get as many people into the country as possible.
What I can say is this: the majority of migrants are economic migrants. I spoke with the Vice President of Ecuador in Madrid 3 months ago, and we discussed this. there is an increase in, let's say, over 200% migrants from Ecuador. When they when you interview them at the border, they say here because we're coming here to work. But that's not the way to come, because if you claim, you know, asylum, if you request international protection, then that's not the reason why you came here. So the real problem here, Sean, is that to get an economic visa, an employment-based visa, there is a process and there is a backlog of more than 3 years. So what this administration is saying is that, they sell you this story that we need more migrant workers. But at the same time, they're claiming that they are, you know, potential asylees. And at the end, of course, there's this concern that this administration is just changing the law, implementing policy memorandums and letting everybody. Isn't that what Joe Biden announced at the beginning of their presidency, even before when he was campaigning for president? He said, we're going to let everybody in. And he's basically what he was saying. Our CBP officers are overwhelmed. DHS officers don't have the capacity. And as I said, it's concerning. If you don't even have a credible fear interview, how do you even know who this person is and why are they here and what is it that they have been facing in this country? So the harsh reality is that when we get to immigration courts, in some counties, let's say Broward County in Florida, South Florida, the rate of denials of asylum cases exceed 70, 80, 90%. So you're not being humanitarian. You're just giving these migrants a death sentence at the U.S. taxpayer money. So it's really frustrating for us as attorney, for us as U.S. citizens, and it should be for everybody. And they're hiding the truth. And again, going back to the NGOs, I know the Catholic Charity has received over $1 billion from U.S. taxpayer money. And I saw I saw what happened in Tucson, Rachel. I studied there. And it comes as no surprise because I saw CBP officers and ICE officers being kicked out of the University of Arizona because they attended, they wanted to do an informational session, and they kicked out. They're like, this is insane. We don't even hear what they have to say. So we are leaving migrants at the, you know, at the mercy of these drug dealers and human traffickers, and the U.S. government is just cooperating with NGOs, and there's lots of fraud. There are lawsuits open because nobody controls where this money goes.
Wait right there. We'll have more of this conversation next.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
Yeah, you know, when I spoke to the illegal migrants when I was in Tucson, I was able to speak to them before the Border Patrol reached them. So they were able to talk to me, but they all seemed coached because everyone had the same answer. And I imagine that either the cartels or the NGOs are coaching them. They all say, well, I feared for my life. My neighbor was murdered. So they all know that they need to say that they have a credible fear. The next thing I say, well, what are you going to do? And they're like, I'm here to work. So it's obvious they are economic migrants coming here. So you said that the government is no longer requiring that immigration lawyers, or CBP, I should say, conduct credible fear interviews. There's also always been a history, as Sean laid out, you know, sort of we have this long history of legal immigration. And one of the things that a legal immigrant would have to do, and you would know this, Maria, because you would have had to have done this yourself, which is prove that you have a means to sustain yourself economically, that you were not going to be a burden on the state, that you were not going to enter the United States and immediately enter into the American welfare system. And that also, I understand from our earlier conversation, they are no longer requiring illegal immigrants who are going through this process to prove that they have some sort of means.
Yeah, there are so many things going on. But the first thing I want to say is that they're not only being coached by, you know, the drug cartels and human traffickers, but migrants themselves who made it. You know, there is the FBI investigating, and I received lots of messages from, let's say, Venezuelan migrants indicating other migrants how to avoid, you know, certain checkpoints and control, and they get paid for that. Again, in this situation, in this financial crisis, in this moment, migrants are finding another way to make money, and this is all connected. So it's very important, because it's not only people who are in the U.S., but along the way, the migrants themselves are making tons of money and cooperating with the organized crime to bring people here. Then, you know, of course, this is another thing that, you know, I would like to discuss, and is that there are several counties, even here in Miami-Dade County, where counties are offering free legal money, and they say you can rely on federal money to, you know, to survive. And that's insane, because once we get to court, as you say, they pledge not to rely on federal money. So when they do, they start receiving all kind of assistance. Then we see that the prosecutors don't want to cooperate with us, because they say they made a promise when they enter here not to rely on financial aid, and they're doing that. So that's a serious problem. And I blame politicians, because when you advertise you can come here, you can get all kind of assistance, they don't know the consequences. So again, the migrants are themselves also victims of this system. Even for healthcare, like, they receive healthcare credits if you are an F1 student. Like, us, we're paying so much money, you know, to get health insurance, and then they're migrant themselves going to university and say you can get tax credits. And I never seen that in any other country. Can you receive, you're receiving tax credit when you're not even working or paying, you're just studying. So you're supposed to come here and study and have your own private insurance, but we're not doing that. We're just saying just get public health insurance. So it's frustrating, and I know they make it legal, and I try to portray everything is good, but it's not good. And I'm going to tell you something, Sean and Rachel. I talk to people who have been here for 20 years, and they might not even have the entire family have documents. They're totally against what's happening. That's it's crazy. They tell me we're so against it. We have been we've been paying taxes. We have U.S. children, and we never had a chance to to get permanent resident. We're waiting to ask for a waiver, a pardon, to have our children be turned 21 and petition for us. And all these people, they're giving work permit, they're giving money, and there's no requirement. They're just asking for a path to citizenship in the moment they enter. So they're really mad, and that needs to be known.
You know, Marie, you talk a lot about the fraud in the system. I'm going to come back to that in a second, but it's not just the migrants who are committing fraud as they come into the country. I think Joe Biden has committed fraud on the American people, really trying to hide how many people have come in, whether they've been vetted, do they have, you know, a reasonable fear, do they really meet the criteria necessary by law to claim asylum in our country. The media has committed a fraud by not reporting this, because when this information comes out, most Americans are wildly opposed. They don't want these policies. They don't want people to come into the country for economic purposes and then get free health care and free handouts from, you know, counties and states and the federal government, because our country's broke. Nobody wants this, which is why all of them commit a fraud on the people to lie about what's happening. But I want to go back on the issue of fraud. So if migrants are systemically from all different parts of the country, as they come on, whether it's with what they say or the documents that they use or the age that they claim that they are, if they come in and use one fake, you know, fake statements or fake documents, one of two things have to be happening with those who meet them at the border. Either those in our government are really stupid and they're duped by the fraud, right? That's one thing, which is troubling in and of itself. Or those who meet the migrants with the fake documents, the forged documents, they're complicit. They're given a wink and a nod, knowing the documents are fake or the ages are fake or the stories are fake. And with a wink and a nod, they're like, okay, you know, you pass the test, you know, come on in. Which one is it? Is it that they're stupid and are, you know, honestly being duped in the U.S. government? Or are they winking and nodding and going, we know you don't really have the correct documents, but come on into the country?
So the reality is that most of the time, migrants don't even submit all documents. And here in the U.S., we don't require certified translation. You know, I'm official certified translator in Spain. I went through the School of Translators and Interpreters. We need to get, you know, official translation certified by certified translator. Here, anybody can translate. So, of course, that is an open door to fraud, you know? And as I'm telling you, there's so many times where they don't have to submit all the paperwork. They just have to do the credible fear interview. And based on that interview, you're let in, you know? And that's the problem. If you don't have to submit any paperwork, then that's it. The officer will say, okay, I believe you. It's more likely than not that you were persecuted coming. So it's really, really crazy. Wow. What's going on. And I'm totally against it because, listen, I'm a border immigration attorney. I represent people. I represent Cuban doctors, Venezuelan exiles. But I only do it if I see they have really like a credible asylum claim. You cannot tell me what you're saying. It's like if I see someone has been coaching there, like, wait a second, that story doesn't add up. So we're going to go again. And if I fear that this is not a credible, this is not a real asylum seeker, I'll say, I'm sorry, I have to drop my representation. That's part of the
But you're super moral, Maria. You're super moral. I would imagine that there are a lot of immigration lawyers who don't have the standards and the ethics that you have, that are taking in people who they know are duping the system, are getting through. You know, I tell you,
it's bad for business, Maria.
Yeah, what you're doing is not good.
Listen, you could have all these illegals come and pay you cash.
Yeah,
you know, but if you're moral, you know, a lot of those who want to dupe the system aren't going to come to you because they're like, she's going to call us up. You only get the good ones.
Not only that, but you know you're going to lose in court. So why would I lose my credential, my credibility? But something that also it's important to know is like, you know, when you go through the immigration system, they give you a list of NGOs that represent you for free. Ask any migrant if they ever pick up the phone. Of course not, because they're overwhelmed. We're talking about 7 million people since 2021. There's no way. So now they're creating alternative ways to have attorneys pro bono paid by the government. You know what? That looks like socialist Cuba or any socialist republic.
Let me break that down, because I don't think – I want to make sure our listeners understand. An illegal immigrant comes to our country and then – let's say in New Jersey is one of the states that does this. The government assigns them an attorney paid for by you, the American citizen, to help basically shepherd them through the immigration system. Am I telling that correctly?
Now, when they come, they arrive at the port of entry and our CBP officers let them in, they're no longer legal immigrants, okay? But the problem that we have is like if you don't have a really like a safe way to vet these migrants and you don't even conduct the proper interviews, you know, people complain that some journalists call them illegal. But I mean, the thing is like we don't set the, you know, the proper methods to control this. So, of course, they come and they come legally. The only people who come illegally, according to the law, are the ones that are gotaways between the port of entry.
So if you go through CBP, we can call you illegal, but technically once they get processed by CBP, they are legally here.
They're legal.
But the only ones who are officially illegal are the gotaways, those who are coming through undetected by CBP who don't turn themselves in. I get that. Let me just tell you something that I came to find out. And I'm going to leave out a few details because I don't want to disclose how I found this out. I mentioned that I've had a lot of whistleblowers come forward and talk to me. I know an illegal migrant who came from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I know of him.
Or her.
Traveled to Chile. In Chile, encountered an NGO. The NGO arranged for their flight. So he's one of the 320,000 illegals who were flown into the United States. Had to sign a disclosure.
A non-disclosure.
That they would not reveal the name of the NGO. So back to the secrecy that we're talking about, although it slipped out, and I can tell you it's Catholic Services, they fly them into a state, I won't say what state, and then from that state to another state. Since they've been in the second state, they have received four mailed notices telling them to register to vote. So why was this illegal immigrant who came on a flight, illegally, one of these flights that are now in the news? And by the way, when he was processed, he received an ID number, a case number, if you will. Mm-hmm. The case number just happens to be the same number of digits as a Social Security number. So you can imagine that makes it even easier to fill out paperwork when you're trying to vote. And that person believes they've been sent four different times. That means they're tracking that he hasn't actually registered to vote. Because this person actually, even though they came here illegally, they actually had a credible threat. This one did actually have one. Says that they don't believe they should vote. I don't have the right to vote, but feels like he's being tracked for not having registered, and they keep following up with him. So this leads to my next question, which is, how much of what you're seeing do you think is about getting illegal immigrants to vote?
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this favors the Democratic Party. Why? Because if they are the one letting everybody come in, they're going to ask for their votes back once they are eligible to vote. And because we're changing the laws in New York City and other states, we're trying to get people without legal permanent residence to vote. That is what they're looking for sure. I'm pretty sure. Now, going back to the NGO, so it's been denounced that now they're not only transporting people who go arrive at the border and request asylum or international protection, but the one they found the gotaways, and that's even crazier. So how can if you're caught breaking the law, how is an NGO legal to even further help you break the law? Because there's
no- you're saying they're processing gotaways.
Yeah, and
once they get them,
transporting there. So that's crazy. And regarding the people that they found, this administration was flying. I'm not sure yet. I haven't been able to take a look, but I'm pretty sure these were part of the parolees that they were, eligible, and they benefited from this, in my view, unconstitutional parole. Why, Rachel? Because a parole is so hard to win. You have to have, it has to be in the national interest of the United States for you to come into the U.S. With a humanitarian parole, or you have a extraordinary humanitarian necessity. I've seen cases where people have illnesses that cannot be cured in your home country, then you come. But that in 10 years, I've maybe seen two or three cases. Now we're giving 30,000 humanitarians parole per month to people just because they're born in Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, or Cuba or Venezuela. So I denounced that in Telemundo, and I'm sorry, but I don't think that should be legal, because at the beginning, even the forms, Rachel, didn't include the question for the sponsor to say, why do you think this person deserves a humanitarian parole? They just say, how much do you have in the bank account? Can you take care of this person? So why are we system?
Well, you're in Florida. Do you see any concern from DeSantis or Marco Rubio? Are there any conservative, you know, elected officials who are that you've reached out to that are interested in what you're seeing?
So I think DeSantis did a great job anticipating and say, hey, we're not going to participate in this chaos at the border. We will not receive migrants unless they have been vetted, and we will fight human trafficking. And I said it in the pub, in the Spanish-speaking media, and I even received death threats. They say I'm a racist, I'm anti-immigrant. Well, I'm an immigrant myself. I'm from Spain, and I'm an immigration attorney. So I'm sorry. It's, you know, like the trend of calling black people white supremacists. Just because they cannot bend it, they can, you know, they cannot make us think like Democrats do. And then I see Marco Rubio doing something also very important, Rachel. You know, the Cuban Adjustment Act. People from Cuba come here, and within a year, if they were either admitted or paroled at the border, they can get their legal permanent residence. Then after they get their green card, they go back to Cuba. And that's not prohibited by law once you are a green card holder, but how can we justify that? If you were a humanitarian exilee, you are an asylum seeker, you are a refugee, a Cuban refugee, how are we allowing people to go back to Cuba the moment they get their green card? And that's something that Marco Rubio is denouncing. And I'm sorry, but yeah, they tell, well, I have family there, but you came here because you couldn't live there, so you cannot vacation there, and you cannot go and see your family. I don't understand, because some people say, you don't understand. I haven't seen my parents in 15 years, but we gave you a chance, and that makes the other people, you know, feel that they are discriminated against, that the Cuba has a special privilege. There is even a person writing the Cuban privilege, and it's sad. But just to end with this, I'm planning, and I reached out to Ashley Moody's office, because she also did a great job investigating and denouncing the you know, the human trafficking that was going on among the Cuban doctors. But we need to go farther. Here in South Florida, I'm going to tell you, the American Bar Association Committee, the State Bar Committee, they are all very aware of immigration fraud. You just jump into Instagram, Rachel and Sean, you're going to see all kind of people say, we do TPS, asylum, we charge you $1,500 for asylum forms, we charge you this and this and that. And then the immigrants come to us and say, you know, I never tell them to fill out an asylum. I just wanted a work permit. She never told me they fill out this and they are abandoned. And then, of course, they're scared to complain. So it's really sad what's going on, and it's hurting our business, the U.S., and our credibility. It's really great.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God, worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Can I ask one question just about how the law works? Because it would make sense. I thought, and again, there's some confusion about how the safe third party country. So the first country that you get to that's safe, where your life isn't threatened, you're not going to be killed, that you go to that country, and then you can apply to the U.S. for asylum, as opposed to going through multiple safe countries and just showing up at our border and saying, I want to be let in. So how does American law work? Because I thought there was a requirement at one point that you go to a safe third party country and make a petition for asylum, and you stay in that third country until the U.S. says yes or no, as opposed to just show up and go, we're going to let you in.
It's so funny that you say that, Sean, because when I was talking to one of the migrants, he was from Guatemala. And he said, well, I don't feel safe in Guatemala. And I said, well, why didn't you just go to El Salvador? It's the safest country in the whole Western Hemisphere. And he goes, well, I wanted to come here.
Oh, why not stay in Mexico? You can stay in Mexico.
Yeah.
What? So again, how does the law work and why aren't we requiring this third party country requirement that's safe for them?
That was part of Trump policies, right? That was part of Trump immigration.
Remain in Mexico.
The pushback was that none of these countries are safe. So you cannot have people, you know, apply for asylum there because they're not safe.
Some are applying from the U.S. Some are coming here from the U.K. The U.K. is not safe. Yes. If France isn't safe, it's all a fraud.
Well, you know, and then even if you are being persecuted in your country under asylum laws, international laws, you have to show that you cannot resettle in any city or any region within your country. That's what I tell people. Okay, you might have a case that, yeah, they have been persecuting you based on your religion, your political opinion, but how can you resettle in another region, in another city in your country? And of course, let's say Mexico. Mexico is big, right? Or other countries, Argentina, Colombia. So it's tough, but I think at some point, and that's exactly what's going on, this administration is even reestablishing part of the Trump policies because they realize there's no way to control this influx. Everybody at some point has been persecuted in countries where there is no law and order. And that's what this country should be about.
It should be law and order. And kind of, to that point, so people come into the country, they tell a bogus story oftentimes. Some are real, but most of them are bogus stories with potentially bogus documents. And then they come in and they're going to wait and they're going to have a hearing in front of an immigration judge. It could be about 4 years, 5 years, 7 years down the road because the backlog is so great. So my question is in regard to the hearings that migrants are getting. Are the judges, with a wink and a nod, being duped by the migrants as well, and they're being allowed to stay? Or do we have good judges who are actually vetting the migrants who are coming into their courts and making really good decisions on their claims of asylum?
No, the judges are super, super experts, super serious about awarding asylum. If you see the rate of denials, it's super high. That's what I tell other colleagues. Mm. Listen, there's no even chance for us to win in court. Sometimes in some counties, in some districts, there's just over 90% rate of denials. Plus, DHS prosecutors are super aggressive, you know? And unfortunately, because the way now the country, the reality of this country, a lot of migrants don't have to eat. They're going through a lot of problems, just like U.S. citizens, because this, you know, this administration has ruined everything. So they commit other crimes. They can get involved in other crimes like petty theft, driving without license, and all this stuff. And what happens is that once you commit a crime, once it's an offense to enter, you know, without papers or being caught between port of entries. But once you commit a second offense, then that's it. The prosecutors will never, you know, let you win the case because they're like, no prosecutorial discretion.
So, but what they're counting on, Maria, is essentially that the backlog is so long that you probably won't go into a courtroom for, you know, 6 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, unless they commit a crime and then they get arrested. And right. You're not in a sanctuary city, then you get sent to detention centers. And that, the process is like super fast, you know? So there's so much going on. And I'm telling you, everybody's frustrated. Everybody's frustrated. And the reform that they sell, because they love to say we need comprehensive immigration reform. What about, first of all, applying the law? Second of all, if we want migrant workers, why don't we help companies? Why don't we create a register, you know, a place, a database where employers can say, I'm going to need 40 farmers. Okay, we're going to help you to get 40 farmers in time for next year, and then they can go back. Immigrants will love that. You have no idea, Rachel.
I know. They don't want to stay. In fact, a lot of them come for work, and they get trapped here. What they want is a green card so they can come here for the season of picking or whatever it is that they're doing and then head on back. But if they do that, they have to go through the cartel system of getting back in, and it's expensive and dangerous. You know, Maria.
And honestly, Rachel, that idea that people say like, oh, the U.S. is a racist country and we're so tough. No, that's not true. We have all kind of pardons, waivers. We have so many visas. We have humanitarian visa. We have asylums. We have employment-based visas, professional visas. So the reality is like, These migrants, the information they receive are from the organized crime and even the U.S. government that say, we're going to accept you all no matter what. So they're setting these migrants, for failure. And they're just, like you said, they're stuck here and they cannot even say goodbye to their mothers and grandparents because once you leave this country, unless you come back with the organized crime, there's no way they're not going to let you in.
Yeah, it's complicated. It's really unique to have someone like you come forward and talk about the frustration, the sort of black market document preparation that's happening as a result of this, the corruption, and also the complicity of our government in sort of diluting the standards and practices for immigration. And Sean, who was a member of Congress for 10 years, can tell you, it is so frustrating and sad to see people who really tried to do it the proper way, go through the system, are still in line 10 years later, and they see all these people breaking our laws and creating more and more chaos and work with the cartel and all the side effects that have happened, sex trafficking, the 80,000 children that we can't keep track of. We have no idea what happened to them. Lots of bad things have happened, but we're really grateful that there are patriots like you, legal immigrants who are in this system, who are willing to tell us the truth of what is happening and what Joe Biden has done to the legal immigration system in order to facilitate illegal immigration. And what Sean and I think is a voter scheme at the end.
Listen, Maria, you have fidelity and loyalty to America and to the Constitution.
It's beautiful.
Which I appreciate that. And there's a lot of people who do not. They're about a cause at all costs, you know, letting people come into the country. And so we are grateful that you would share your story, what you're seeing behind the scenes, because there's not many like you. We are grateful that you would share it with us at our kitchen table. I know you and Rachel spoke before, but it was a pleasure to actually meet you on the podcast. And keep up the great work and keep blowing the whistle on what you see happening in this corrupt system that we call immigration, migration in the country.
Yeah, we have some members of Congress that listen to our podcast, and we're hoping that they remember your name, Dr. Maria Herrera Mellado. She's a great resource for those in elected office who can do something to crack down on all this fraud.
Yeah, thank you very much. I always like to remind people that, you know, this is how Cubans lost Cuba, Venezuelans lost Venezuela, Nicaragua's lost. When you sell out your system, your country, when you just, the only thing that matters to you is money, you know, don't complain later when you don't have a country to live in with anymore. So definitely I took an oath to defend this nation. I love this nation, and I would love to have a 47th president in the United States that defend the border, that allow and facilitates legal migration. And we owe it to everybody who sacrificed their lives to defend this nation.
Well said.
Amen to that. Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with much more after this.
You know, Rachel, fascinating conversation with Maria. And we made this point throughout the podcast. There's so much, so many clouds. It's so foggy around this issue because there's so many people making so much money. They don't want to talk about what's truly happening. And we're grateful that Maria would
come on. It's money and it's ideology. I mean, I think there are some people that are just, you know, I think about the lady from Casa Alitas who came with the lanyard and, you know, the tattoos and was like, you got to get out of this, you know, this hotel that we have for these illegals. She struck me as a believer. She believes she's doing the right thing. I think with these sort of shadowy paralegal document preparers, these are people who are not only making money off of, you know, preparing documents instead of allowing the, you know, sort of undercutting the legal immigrants. But I also think many of them are taking the money from these desperate illegal immigrants and not following through with the paperwork, which is what Maria said. Many of them just end up handing their money over and then they get screwed, right? And end up having to go to a real immigration attorney later, or maybe find another document preparer who's has a better reputation. But the point is that, you know, there are people making money. As you said, the NGOs are making hand over fist. These shady immigration lawyers, these shady paralegal document preparers, and these NGOs. And it's just, it seems like there's always another bottom. Like, just when you think you can't be shocked anymore, there's another piece of this puzzle. And I think there are so many spokes to it, like you said, and they keep opening up new avenues of fraud to let as many people in that our members of Congress can't even keep up with what's going
on. So it's interesting. It's like we're shocked at the new lows that we get to. And just this week, we were shocked again to go, Joe Biden flew in 320,000 people into the country under the cover of darkness, not sharing with the American people. They didn't have to walk through Mexico and come to our border. No, no. Joe Biden just flew them in from Latin American countries. Another new low, another shock.
But and we don't even know if we paid for it. They claimed that the migrants
did. No, they did not. This, Joe Biden, with our tax dollars, paid for it. But let's be honest about how this system is really going to work. Okay, so you flood, you know, we say 7-8 million migrants. It is way more than that. I think we're 10, 12, 14 million migrants that have come into the country.
I think you're right.
And so because there's such a backlog, you know, in the court system, I was heartened to hear, by the way, that she said our immigration judges are actually really good and they're doing a fantastic job of truly vetting
migrants. She's in Florida. Maybe they're not so good in Chicago.
Right, or New York or California. Yeah. But that aside, if you have a hearing in 6 or 7 years from now, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, you're living in the country and, you know, you're young. Maybe you're married, but maybe you're not. But maybe you get a girlfriend or a boyfriend and maybe you get married. Maybe you don't. But humans actually reproduce. They have kids. Right. And when they have that child and they have that child in America, that child's an American citizen. Right. And so then you have a child here and then you go to the immigration court and they're like, I'm sorry, you're illegal. Your claim is false. And then you're going to be like,
my daughter's an American citizen.
Oh, my daughter's an American citizen.
Yeah.
I have a dreamer in my home. Right. So they'll talk about dreamers like they have right now with the dreamers in the country. Their parents have come in illegally, you know, fraudulently. They had children here. And now they'll talk about those kids being able to stay. But not only that, then they'll say, we can't have family separation. You can't separate these families. So yes, you came under fraudulent terms and you've had a child, but AOC is going to cry in my congressional office and say, we can't separate this family because they had a child here. So the end result and the political pressure and the good-heartedness of Americans is going to be a lot of these people are not going to be deported.
Never going to leave.
Because the politics of this.
And even Sean, if in the course of this 6 years, you discover that this is a criminal, this is a rapist, this was a murderer, even if they committed the crime here, guess what? Venezuela won't take them back. Many of these countries.
Well, Venezuela said, no, they empty the prisons.
You
can't send them back to
and
Venezuela.
You can't send them back, even if they committed Maduro crimes before or while they are here.
The communist Maduro is much smarter than Joe Biden. Joe Biden took him and he's like, yeah, I'm good. We're good. We want to save a lot of money in our prisons. You get him, Joe. Good luck.
And the information came out. So CB, and if you want more information, I'm going to give a tiny bit of this right now, but you can go back and listen to my podcast with our podcast with Congressman Troy Nehls, N-E-H-L-S. Troy Nehls is a former sheriff who became a member of Congress. He has lots of law enforcement contacts because of that. And CBP in Texas said, hey, this was 2 years ago, we're getting notice from Homeland Security that we should look out for former prisoners coming across the border from Venezuela. We're getting information that they may have emptied their prisons and they're coming across the border. So Congressman Troy Nehls and 13 other members of Congress wrote a letter to Secretary Mayorkas and said, hey, whatever information you gave to CBP, We want that intel too. We want to see what you know about Nicolas Maduro emptying prisons in Venezuela. It has been 2 years. They've received nothing. No response to their letter. How is that possible, Sean? How can a secretary...
That's a great question.
How can he not respond to members of Congress who are elected by the people and who have oversight over his agency?
So if you go back 50, 60 years, this would never happen. Wouldn't happen because the Congress, Democrats and Republicans, would stick together. And if there was noncompliance from the executive branch, there would be real consequences.
Like what?
Like they would cut budgets. They would cut funding. They would cut departments. But today, the Congress is so partisan and there's not unification that you can't actually hold Mayorkas accountable. You've impeached him. Who knows what's going to happen in the Senate with the hearing. But what he really cares about is money. And Republicans continue to do these CRs, these continuing resolutions, which have they're bloated spending. And a CR, a continuing resolution, just continues the funding at current levels. And so there's no consequence for not responding. What's the Congress going to do to you? They're not going to cut your budget. What other power do they have? They can call you in and they can embarrass you in a hearing. But outside of that, you don't have to give them the information. And they have no control over you but for the power of the purse. I want to bring up something else on how do you address this? So you've done this on Fox and Friends. We've talked about this as well on the podcast. This is related, so don't stick with me.
Okay.
If you look at Europe and whether it was the Dutch farmers or the French farmers, you've seen farmer protests against their governments and their policies around energy, their move to go net zero, and the targets of those policies are farmers, are actually on modern day life. And so you've seen people in those countries actually stand up and give major pushback, and a lot of the public stands with them. They agree with them. We just did a story in The Bottom Line yesterday that in Poland, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is like your net zero move in Poland is commie-esque. By the way, we have knowledge of how communism works.
Yeah, they lived under the old communism.
Under the old Soviet Union. And so not only the farmers, but the miners and the truck drivers and the gun owners and the hunters have like had these mass protests in Poland. And what you see is when people stand up and push back against bad policies and hold their government to account, all of a sudden you see their governments change. But when people don't stand up and they sit there in silence, that's when the train rolls over them with these really horrible policies. And so if you look at what's the success of the farmers in Europe and you're going to apply that in America, you need people to stand up and have protests. And again, peaceful protests, but let your voices be heard when you gather together to go, I'm sorry, we're not going to take the system. We're a country with laws. We believe that we should vet the people that come in. And yes, we're a country of immigrants, but we don't open our borders to anybody who wants to come in. And then when they come, we're going to pay taxes so we can pay for their food, their housing, their health care, their laundry.
We play for the flight. We literally say, where do you want to go?
In this country?
Where do you want to go when they come? And after they get processed by CBP, we go, where do you want to go? And we send them wherever they... You can't get a free ticket from the government for any citizen. Why would an illegal get one? By the way, in looking at everyone getting rich, you know, I've talked to you before about me going to Texas, doing some reporting and ending up in line with like 30 guys carrying a manila folder, which was like, ding, 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 ding. These are all illegals. And because I could talk to them in Spanish, I would end up chatting with them. That's when I learned that they'd been in the country for less than 30 hours, which meant how were they possibly properly vetted? Our government doesn't even have enough manpower, which is why they're using NGOs to actually do the vetting. And the NGOs have a total incentive to let these people go because they make money on every stage of this process. But I was reading an article when the story dropped and broke, and it was a bombshell, the fact that they were hiding, the Joe Biden's administration was hiding the fact that they had processed 320,000 illegals in foreign countries and flown them into our country and rushed them out to the locations they wanted. I was reading this article and they were talking about how much certain airports, like Newark, for example, because a lot of migrants, illegal migrants, want to come to New Jersey. There's a lot, there's a diaspora, there's a lot of other illegal communities or other legal communities of Ecuadorians, for example, who are here.
Some people are trying to get out of New Jersey.
Yeah, but the illegals like New Jersey. They have family here.
Right.
But the airports and the airlines have seen this huge increase in traffic, in tickets. And so they're profiting too. So they don't have an incentive to say, hey, you know what? Rachel has to have a driver's license or a passport to get through our security, our TSA. These people have been in the country 30 hours and they're coming through our airports. We don't know who the hell they are. They are not reporting this. TSA isn't. The airlines aren't. Because everybody's making more money.
And what's sad is...
And as the TSA, by the way, the TSA, as they have more people go through, then those unions say, hey, we need to hire more people. We need more money for our budgets. So everybody's growing from this.
And again, it comes to this idea that they're trying to destabilize the country.
Absolutely.
If you want to destabilize America, let in 14 million new people in 3 years. That will destabilize it. Get a $34, $35 trillion debt and collapse your currency. Let criminals run free while you prosecute the law abiding. I mean, this is, so again, it always comes back to the why. This is the strategy of Joe Biden. And this is political season. And Joe Biden doesn't want to be honest about these policies. He's trying to lie and say, it's the Republicans' fault. They didn't pass my migration bill, which Republicans were smart enough to see that as not border security, but a migration bill. But Joe Biden is trying to hide this policy from the American people because they don't agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason we found out about the flights is somebody caught wind of it and filed the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and they had to hand it over. Everything is being done in secret. That's what I learned when I went to Tucson last week, Sean. That was the main lesson I learned. They are doing all of this in secret, that nobody voted for this and they know nobody will. So they are doing it through the administrative state, through the bureaucracy and through the shadow bureaucracy of the NGOs. The NGOs are filling the capacity needed to process this many people. If you could just take down the NGOs, if I was a Republican Congress right now, I would be focused on the NGOs and the funding going to them. Because not only is money from FEMA and from the Veterans Administration being raided in order to pay NGOs to process illegals, which is, you know, unbelievable in and of itself. But if you could somehow figure out how to cut the funding off to these NGOs, they wouldn't be able to do this, at least not at the scale that they're doing it.
James Lankford's bill that he negotiated with the White House and Democrats, which was not an immigration bill, it was a migration bill.
And a war bill.
You're talking about actually cutting money to the NGOs.
They were going
to
give more.
This bill, it was $2 or $6 billion more to the NGOs.
Billions more to the NGOs.
So you go, listen, they're not rolling it back.
How dare Lankford? Sean, I know he's, you know him. I know he's a nice guy, but at some point you have to go, why would he be complicit in this as a conservative? There's no excuse for why a conservative would go along with a bill like that.
So when Joe Biden gives the State of the Union tonight, he's going to talk about immigration and he's going to blame 3 years of his policy changes from the Trump era. He's going to blame it all on Republicans because they didn't vote for his migration bill. And there's one person who's at fault. This would never happen but for James Lankford. So when Joe Biden stands in the House chamber tonight and throws fire at Republicans and blames Republicans for his policies, Thank you, James Langford. You gave that to us. Again, I like James. James is a good guy, but shame on him for negotiating such a bad bill and giving Joe Biden a weapon to try to blame this on Republicans. I think the American people are too smart, though. Can we, one other point on politics as we talk about the State of the Union and this issue. If you recall, in the 2020 race, Donald Trump was calling Joe Biden a communist, a socialist, right? And Joe Biden was like, look at my record. You know, I'm not a socialist. I'm a moderate Joe. I'm, you know,
I love
I'm
capitalism.
Average Joe. I love
capitalism.
I just
want you to pay your fair share.
I beat the socialist Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. That's not me. Well, you know what he did? When he won the primary and he made those statements about not being a socialist or a communist, he hired a ton of staff members from Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Some of the most radical people in the Democrat Party, he actually brought them into his campaign. He's brought them into his administration. And it's those crazy nut jobs who are advising Joe Biden, and Joe Biden's completely going along with it.
And he's also getting advice from and orders Barack from Barack Obama, who's another socialist.
But he's
communist.
So you might not have Bernie Sanders in power, but you have all his staff and Joe Biden implementing the ideas of Bernie Sanders without the old gray hair and the, well, I guess I was going to say, doesn't have the pocketbooks of Bernie Sanders, but Joe Biden does with Hunter's great business acumen.
I hope everyone, when you're done with this episode, I really advise you to listen to an episode that we had earlier this week. It is about the role of China in Latin America. And this has everything to do with what's going on at the border as well. So that's with Joseph Humede. He is a national security expert in Latin America. He's a former Marine, knows everything that's going on with China's moves all over Latin America. They are gobbling up resources and ports and mines and all kinds of natural resources and compromising so many of the different governments and putting in military assets. But they are also very keenly taking advantage of what Joe Biden has done at the border. And that is why we have an 800% increase in Chinese coming across the border. But it's very complex. I hope you listen to it. It's with Joseph Humede, and it dropped this week. It is fascinating.
It's a great interview. And it goes to this other point as well. The policies we talk about and what Joseph talked about of America ceding our hemisphere to the Chinese, those in power right now, they hate America, which is why when Trump talks about make America first, make America great, put America first. They're offended. Because there was a time where, like, of course you want to put your country first, your citizens first, your economy first, mm-hmm. your military first. That comes first. They're offended by that because they hate this country. Yeah. And every single policy, every mm-hmm. single problem that we have, even some problems that we don't know that we have that they're working on, to create more problems for us, is because they hate this country. It all comes back to that.
Couldn't agree more.
Great. That was a great interview with Joseph, Rachel. No doubt, this immigration issue is so important because it affects us in so many ways. I appreciate Maria joining us at the kitchen table. Again, one of those good lawyers, immigration lawyers, who are willing to blow the whistle. We're happy for more people to come forward and talk about truly what's happening behind the scenes. And it's through these conversations, this information flow, and people activating on this issue to push back against Joe Biden and radicals like him is the only way we win the future for America and win the future for our kids. So thank you for being with us at the kitchen table. If you like our podcast, you can rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can always find us at foxnewspodcast.com. We're always there. And if you like us, please subscribe. Until tomorrow's Q&A, have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.